working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, Oklahoma. It's Friday. Let's check out some weather here real quick. If I can get the weather to come up. There it is. Anyway, temperatures cooler to the north, obviously. 45 degrees at Slapout, 46 degrees at Freedom. 46 degrees at, I think that's Lahoma. I about got these memorized. Yes, it's Lahoma. 49 degrees at Arnett, home of Lori Campbell. 52 degrees at Eric. 54 degrees at Hollis. 52 at Hobart. And 49 degrees at Weatherford. Out here in the panhandle to the west of us, 39 degrees at Lipscomb. 41 at McLean. 42 at Wellington. And 45 at Odell. Anyway, nice rain. Let me just go right back over here and see if I can come up with some radar real quick. Or rainfall. I mean, see what we got here. See what it's showing. I know we got, right at half inch here at the studio almost. 43 100s. 47 100s at Eric. 26 at Hollis. About a half inch at Butler, half inch at Camargo, 2/10 at Arnett. But up there in north central Oklahoma, around Lahoma and Cherokee and Fairview, looks like they might have got anywhere from 3/4 to an inch in that area. So anyway, it was a good rain. We'll take this once a week. I know we all need runoffs because our ponds are disappearing, but we'll take this. This is really good for what winter forage crops we got. So be all good. All right, first thing is I'm going to start out with some crappy news. Wasn't a very good joke as far as I was concerned, or it's not a good joke. Anyway, I guess up in Stillwater at one of the frat houses, somebody found a dead Texas Longhorn laying in the yard. A real animal. So anyway, that's pretty cruel. Sorry. And, you know, football's fun. We all have fun with the OSU and Texas and OU and stuff like that, and A&M and Texas Tech. But man, that's just, it's sad that somebody actually killed a Longhorn and put it in somebody's yard in Stillwater there at one of the frack houses. So anyway, hope they catch them. I hope they do time. I hope they get fined. And just, I don't want anything good to happen to them. And so, but anyway, so that's one of the, that's sad news to start out with. But okay, let's go into the big three things that's happening overnight. Soybean futures plunged in overnight trading on favorable weather in Brazil and Argentina. Rain fell this week in several states. In Brazil, the world's largest exporter of oil seeds. Sorry, I about had to sneeze. I still do. But anyway, the world's largest exporter of oil seeds, and more precipitation is expected in other states in that part, according to Don Kenny, agriculture meteorologist from Maxar. Rainfall next week will further improve crop conditions in the northwestern areas. In Argentina, precipitation should continue through the day in some areas, while rain is forecast for Santa Fe and northern Entre Rios through the weekend. Abundant rains through the late week should significantly improve moisture and crop conditions. More will be needed in the southwest part of some of those states in Argentina. Production in Brazil in 23-24 marketing years forecasted at 163 million tons, metric tons, how about that? Which is, if realized, will be up from the previous 158 million in the highest output on record, according to the USDA. Soybean futures for January delivery fell overnight 11 cents to 13.31 and three quarter a bushel on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal was down $4.20 to $4.19.80 a short ton, while soy oil gained 0.01 cents, like that's 1/100th of a penny, to $52.27 a pound. Overnight corn for March delivery was down a penny and a quarter to $4.81.5 a bushel. And then we got wheat futures for March delivery overnight lost 4 cents to $5.94 a bushel, and Kansas City futures declined 6¾ cents to $6.36¼ a bushel. On the bright side, corn sales jumped to the highest since the marketing year started on September 1st, and bean and wheat sales rose in the week through November 23rd. Sales of corn to overseas buyers rose to 1.93 million metric tons, up 35% from the week prior to that, and 54% from the prior four-week average. An unnamed country that we all know as John Doe was the biggest buyer at 726,600 tons, followed by Mexico at 294,000 tons, and Japan 258,000 pounds, and Taiwan bought 201,500 tons, and China was in there for 131,000 tons. So them guys have been doing really good here the last month buying these exports. Exports for the week, however, fell 20% to 499,900 tons. Soybean sales came up came in at 1.9 million metric tons. It's up 97% on a weekly basis and 29% from the average. China bought 892,000 tons. John Doe bought 294,000 tons. Spain was in there for 123, and Mexico purchased 93,000 tons itself. Exports of U.S. beans for the week fell 11% to 1.45 million tons. Wheat sales jumped noticeably to 622,000 metric tons last week as China bought 197,000 tons. John Doe bought 148,000 tons. Mexico bought 65,000 tons. And Philippines was in there for 60,000 tons. And Japan was in there for 43,000 tons. Exports for the sales were reported at 340,000 tons. That's up 14% week to week, according to the USDA. Weather in our ag belt. Winter weather advisors remain in effect for much of southern and southeastern Iowa through, well, about right now, or a couple hours from now, as more snow and ice are expected. Another inch of light snow is expected through the evening this afternoon in Illinois and parts of eastern Iowa. Meanwhile, mixed precipitation is possible today. So, anyway, looks like if you're going down Interstate 80 up there, you need to be careful. Otherwise, it's a little cool here in our part of the world, and we got it. Nice rain, and it didn't get as cold as they thought it was going to, but I guess because of cloud cover and stuff. And, of course, last night and tonight is in the I think anything north of I-40, you might check it out tonight. You should be able to see the northern lights. You're going to have to look way north. Might take a set of binoculars out with you, but the cloud cover prevented us from seeing it last night. But looks like it's going to be clear tonight. So you want to see some northern lights? Tonight might be the night to do it. So anyway, we got a, I think the full moon's going backwards now. Not quite a full moon now, but anyway, this is the last weekend of rifle season for the white-tailed deer. Till the holiday season, but if you want to get you a big buck, you got today, tomorrow, next day. And from what I'm seeing, there's more and more big bucks been popping up here the last two or three days. They must have got round one done and they're looking for round two. So might be a good weekend to be out looking for that big old buck. So today is the Wheeler General Store happy hour. We'll have more on the Wheeler General Store coming up. And I got more agriculture information to put out to you coming up right after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Can Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
You can buy parts anywhere, but the people at our store are different than people at other stores. And if they're not, we're going to make them different. They should be more knowledgeable. They should be more friendly. They should be more customer-oriented. They should be part of the community. We pride ourselves of doing business with people. You can buy parts anywhere. It's the people that make the difference.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
From pump to pivot, Valley Water Experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water Experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Whether you graze livestock or produce hay from perennial forages, the Night Latch Group helps farmers and ranchers manage production risk by utilizing the federal crop insurance programs. The Pasture Range and Forage Rainfall Insurance Program signups for the 24 calendar year are now till December 1st. PRF provides needed cash flow and pays producers during periods of below average rainfall. Insure your operation against lack of rainfall with no money up front. Hold on to your ag investment with the Night Latch Group, 580-334-7995. Remember, even wet years have dry spells.
Hey, Today in Ag listeners, this is Jared Clark with South Star JCB. We carry a variety of wheel loaders, excavators, telehandlers, skid steers, and several other types of equipment. Please give me a call at 469-325-7466. That's 469-325-7466. Check us out on the web, southstartxjcb.com. That's southstartxjcb.com. I'd love to sell you one. Thank you and God bless you.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Canadian, Texas, 40 degrees, wind chills 36, humidity is at 70, dew points 31, winds are out of the north at 5 miles an hour, peak wind gusts so far today, 20 miles an hour. Let's see here. No month-to-date precipitation. Today is December 1st. And so what do we got? 407 minutes of sub-freezing minutes today. 8-inch soil temperature in Canadian, Texas, 44 degrees. A little chilly going on up there. Today is the Wheeler General Store happy hour. Looking for deer corn? The Wheeler General Store is fully stocked with corn, attractants, game cameras, feeders, and much, much more. While you're looking for hunting accessories, be sure to check out all their different meat seasonings. Elk Creek, Meat Church, and Traeger, just to name a few. Feed season is right around the corner. It's actually here now. The Wheeler General Store has been a Hi-Pro dealer for 10 years. They deliver feed to ranches and stores all over the Texas Panhandle, Oklahoma, Kansas, and New Mexico. For prices, contact the one and only Mr. Nathan Heffley at 806-826-5531. The Wheeler General Store is located at 15868 Highway 152, just outside of Wheeler, Texas. As always, look forward to serving you. They are easy to find. South side of the road, east side of Wheeler, right there on 152 Highway. Easy to find. Oh, anyway, let's see here. I was check out some markets, some up-to-date grain, grain markets, and then we'll see what cattle we're bringing up in the northern part of the state here. December corn is at 468, up over 6 cents today. March is 487. Soybeans for January, 1333, down 9. 1353 for March. December soybean meal, $437.50 for a short ton of it, down $4.70 today. And January is at $417.70, down $6.30. Soybean oil, December, $52.13, down 16/100 of a penny. January is $51.89. Hard red winter wheat, let's check it out. December, $6.46, up 3 cents. March is $6.45. May is $6.50 and July is $6.55. Cotton up 8/100 of a penny at $79.48 for December, $79.69 for March, and $80.39 for May. Let's see here. Sugar Daddy's losing money this week. Did I tell you guys that I got to meet SugarDaddy.com himself out there at Amarillo at the Amarillo Farm and Ranch Show? He showed up. It was brief, but he was in there. He wouldn't come on the show, and he wouldn't sign an autograph. He wouldn't do nothing, but he did make his face available for looking at you while he was doing the radio show there, or while I was doing my radio show. So anyway, he's not what I thought he was or would be. But anyway, we'll move on. Anyway, crude oil for West Texas. January, $75.55, down 41 cents. February, $75.70, down 35 cents. Natural gas is in the green today. Still not at $3. January, $2.82, and February at $2.78. Let's see. The feeders and lives just look like a destruction board today. December, $169.57, down $1.30. February is $169.92, down $1.90. April's $172.50, down $1.92. And June is $168.37, down $1.82. Feeder cattle for January, $215.47, down $4.47. March is $218.12, down $4.45. April is $222.12. Down $4.55, and May is $225.85, down $4.65. Lean hogs for December up just a little bit at $68.80. They're down in February at $70.07, and April is $76.27, and May is $83.65. Looks like the Dow, S&P, and the NASDAQ are all in the green today, so they're not looking too shabby there. What do you guys think? Text line is wide open here for the show today at 580-225-9697. What do you think's going on, especially with the live cattle and feeder? What do you guys think's going on? Could it be the Packers got enough? Do you think the boys in Chicago are playing with numbers? Or have we peaked out? What do you guys think? Give me your thoughts on that. All right, let's see what happened at some of the sales up north in the northern part of Oklahoma here. It looks like compared to last week, feeder steers are mostly steady. Feeder heifers steady to $5 lower on a light test. Steer calves $5 to $12 higher. Heifer calves $15 to $20 higher. Demand was moderate to light for the feeders and moderate for the calves. Quality was average. How about that? Let's check out some prices. In the 300 to 400 pound range. Let's see here. I got some weaned ones weighing 375. We're bringing up to 343. In the 4 to 5 range, I got some unweaned ones weighing 469. Brought 309 at the top end. 297.94 was the average. And what do we got over here? 5 to 6 range. Some winged ones brought 289 at the top end, was pretty good. And then some 6 to 7 weights were bringing up to 246. And then 7 to 8 range was bringing up 231. Down here with the girls, let's check out what was happening there. There's a nice bunch of heifers brought 378, or weighed 378, we're bringing up to 304, which is pretty good. 4 to 5 weights, let me pick out some weaned ones here. 271, 287 was the high end. 5 to 6 weights up to 246. Some 6 to 7 weight heifers were bringing up to 221 was top end. Looks like somewhere in the 215 to 218 range was the average price for the 6 to 7 weight heifers. And then down here, they look like they had a really nice set of heifers, a big bunch that weighed 816, brought 205. And some 9 weights brought $1.90. There you go. That's what was happening up in the deal. Well, I was snooping around on our text line here a while ago, and in Sean's show on the Exploring Energy, I seen black vultures, and I thought, what are they doing talking about black vultures? Well, I came across a deal in the beef email that I get. Of course, somebody from Oklahoma, stirring the pot. Senator Mark Wayne Mullen, Republican senator from Oklahoma, introduced legislation Wednesday that would allow farmers and ranchers to eliminate black vultures threatening their livestock. The Black Vulture Relief Act is similar to a House bill introduced by Representative John Rose of Tennessee and Darren Soto of Florida earlier this year. Mullen says that ranchers should have the right to protect their livestock from predators. He notes black vulture attacks are awesome, gruesome affairs lasting several hours, and you guys have never seen it, and if you want to see it, if you do, you can YouTube it, and I'm telling you, it's not pretty. Those attacks cost ranchers an average of $2,000 for every calf killed, according to the prices this year. Attacks from black vultures have become far too common, and our livestock producers are suffering the consequences, he says. As a rancher myself, I know firsthand the implications of rapidly growing black vulture population and the negative effect that it has on livestock production. Black vultures are currently protected under the Migratory Bird Treaty Act of 1980. Consequently, those wanting to take one must obtain a depredation tag permit from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Department. Fish and Wildlife Department operates a pilot program allowing state officials to issue those permits to some ranchers. However, those permits limit ranchers to taking only 3 to 5 vultures per year. Critics of the rule say that this is insufficient since attacks may involve up to 50 birds at a time. They also contend black vultures should not be subject to protection laws since they are currently listed as a species of the lowest conservation concern. The U.S. Cattlemen's Association President Justin Tupper, I hope I said that right, says black vultures are responsible for nearly 2.1 million cattle losses per year. I didn't know it was that big. Oftentimes, the birds focus on newborn calves flocking to fence posts while cows go into labor. According to data from the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, there are now more than 190 million black vultures across the country. That represents an estimated 468% increase since 1990. The NCBA, Property Rights and Environmental Management Committee Chairman Charlie Bescher, acknowledges that black vultures play a role in the ecosystem. He said cattle producers have no desire to eradicate them. However, he calls the current system of managing the birds restrictive and ludicrous. The species is abundant across the continent and no longer a conservation concern. These birds are extremely vicious predators, and their attacks on cattle are devastating, both emotionally and financially. While the bill gives ranchers leeway to take more birds, they would be required to document kills and submit an annual report. This would allow the Fish and Wildlife Service to better monitor population levels of the birds. The legislation also prohibits farmers from using poison as a kill method. In addition to the National Cattlemen's Beef Association and the U.S. Cattlemen's Association, the bill has been endorsed by the American Farm Bureau Federation, the Oklahoma Department of Wildlife Conservation, and 19 state cattlemen's association and 6 state farm bureaus. How about that? Yeah, if you guys, I don't, thank goodness we don't have any out here. Knock on wood, hope we don't get any. But I've seen some people last year post on down there in southeastern Oklahoma where it's a bad deal. Man, you just go get him there, Senator Mullins. Go get him. Then maybe he'll start in on the hog deal. How about that? And then let's go back from the rancher to the farmer, because the wildlife deal, especially with the hogs, is getting out of control. Let's go ahead and take a Wheeler General Store happy hour break, and we'll be right back.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
When your tractor has a flat, you're stuck. When your truck's on a construction site and a tire goes down, you're in trouble. You need help. So you call down to Blair, and they come to you. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed, Highway 283 and 19. On-site tire service, 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
That life insurance that I have on myself, it's not for me. It's for my wife, that she doesn't have to sell the home. She doesn't have to go worry about how am I going to make this car payment. How am I going to come up with the cost out of pocket to pay this funeral? Because, you know, that's an expensive cost. And it's a cost that you're going to have. If you had a machine in your garage that made money, it was a money-making machine. You went out every day and you flipped the switch on that machine and it generated money to pay your bills. Would you insure that machine? I've never had anybody say no. Sure they would. Well, you are that machine. You flip your switch on every morning when you get up. You flip your switch on when you go to work. But yet we don't insure ourselves. It doesn't make any sense to me. Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
SEI Agritech is excited to announce they're now open with their new LNC blending feed facility for their new product line at SEI Agritech, 1400 South Randall in Elk City, with all the feed rations that you've come to know and trust. The new facility is the only LNC blending facility in the area. SEI Agritech in Elk City now open their new facility in their current location, 1400 South Randall in Elk City. For more information, give Kent a call at 580-225-0317.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? High cotton. It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
At Lone Star Gin, 4.5 miles south of Pampa, Texas on Highway 70, our mission is to provide superior customer service to our producers while getting their cotton ginned in a timely manner. We possess 120-plus bale-per-hour capacity, high-tech moisture systems, on-site sampling, and we move cotton in a timely manner from the field to the gin. With excellent hands-on marketing, our gin is designed to maximize profits for our farmers. Visit us at www.lonestargin.com or give us a call, 806-665-0677.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Let me turn that down a little bit. There we go. Okay, here is your ag weather update for northwestern Oklahoma. I picked the big town of Lahoma, Oklahoma. 38 right now. 32 is what it feels like. Dew points at 33. Humidity's at 80%. The winds are out of the northwest at 9 miles an hour. 24-hour rain total, 0.72 inches. And we got 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature at 44 degrees. 1-day average 10-inch fractional water, 1.0. Imagine that. Sunset at 5:18 today, 46 for a high. Tonight, clear, 28. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy and 51 degrees. So, looks like it's going to be clear enough for you guys up there to get a really good view of the Northern Lights tonight. And because we all missed them last night because of the rain, but that's all right. We don't need to see those lights. We need the rain. We'll go with that. Okay, let's see here. What have I got going on? Oh, I wanted to tell you, some of you guys have probably already seen this, but I thought this tells you how bad to the bone that the Texas and southwestern Oklahoma, or southwestern cattle rangers are, the special Texas rangers are down there for working for the cattlemen, and out here in Oklahoma. I'm a member of them out here also. Anyway, these guys, they go overseas. They'll track you down, man. And Leighton James, a horse trainer out of Tiago, something like that, Texas, was arrested in the U.S. Virgin Islands on felony charges for theft after an investigation by Texas and Southwest Cattle Raisers Association Special Ranger Mr. Brad Oliver and the Grayson County Sheriff's Office. James is accused of crafting a scheme for stealing horses and money from victims throughout the United States. James operated Majestic Ranch in Texas. Tioga, something like that. Anyway, I don't know how to pronounce it. Where he facilitated the sale of horses on a consignment basis for numerous individuals across the country. After the completion of the consigned sale, James failed to pay the respective owners. Individuals who purchased those, James failed to receive the horses. I mean, so anyway, he sold the horses, didn't give the money to the regular owner, the original owners, and the other people didn't get their horses, leaving victims on both ends with a fraudulent sale. James is reported to have stolen between $300,000 and $500,000 from over 30 victims. The payments were facilitated using online platforms, including PayPal and the Cash App. James is reported to have stolen between $300,000, they double-lined me there. On October 17th, James stole a truck and fled the area, abandoning the vehicle in Aubrey, Texas. Through the joint efforts of the Grayson County Sheriff's Office, Special Ranger Oliver, Texas Department of Public Safety, and the United States Marshal Service, James was located in the U.S. Virgin Islands. James was apprehended on November 13 by the United States Marshals in St. Thomas. He is awaiting extradition to Grayson County. How about that? Said they got a tip on the Operation Cow theft tip line to catch this guy. That's cool. You just, man, don't try to outrun the law. That's all I can say. Let's see here. I got a report of, everybody says I kind of favor the Oklahoma peanut production. Guess what? I'll start in with the Texas peanut production this year. According to them, from the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension, Texas peanut production was back-to-back seasons of drought continued to impact planted peanut acres, making it another tough year for Texas Peanut Growers Association, according to Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service expert Emma Kamrawa, I guess is how you say that, AgriLife Extension state peanut specialist from Vernon, Texas, said producers who were able to keep their crop under irrigation throughout the drought were able to maintain growth and produce average yields per acre. However, for those who were not able to keep up with moisture demands during a second season of drought and extreme heat, suffered another rough season. Harvest acres were compared were up compared to 205,000 acres last year, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, National Agriculture Statistics Service Report. The USDA also forecasted 107% higher production in Texas than last year, 677 million pounds compared to 328 million pounds in 2022. You guys remember the drought was severe down there last year, just to basically from Hollis down in that area, down in the southwestern part, southwestern corner of Oklahoma. See, peanut yields this season was up 500 pounds per acre over 2022 production and expected to reach 3,300 pounds per acre. But, he said, the USDA report does not depict the 23 growing season. She said 13 to 14,000 acres of the 230,000 acres of peanuts planted in Texas were lost to dry, hot conditions. It was the second drought season in a row, and it makes it harder. She said peanuts now even need even more water and lower yields in back-to-back season makes it hard for growers. The lack of rain and soil moisture in the ground throughout the season left most peanut growers solely reliant on irrigation. That means a farm's irrigation capacity greatly influenced individual grower outcomes. The effect of another arid growing season took its toll on growers' ability to meet water demands for good pod and peanut development. Drought delayed crop progress, but there was also weather-related delays at harvest, she said. Producers waited a week or two longer than normal to harvest their crop due to the rain we received in May and June, pushing back planting. The drought also slowed down production, so waiting to harvest allowed the crop to mature. That was a good thing. Poncho Abella, AgriLife Extension Economist at Vernon, released the High Plains Ag Week peanut market update in October. He said peanut prices reached the highest level in the last decade, $545 per ton on average. Abella said demand for peanuts in the U.S. has shifted. He reported 9% consumption decrease for peanut candy, snacks, and other peanut products, while peanut butter and in-shell peanut consumption was up 6%. Even though producers' yields improved on average, many struggled to bring in a crop. There you go. So, anyway, so they, looks like they had more acres, and they had a drought this year, but it wasn't as severe as last year's. Speaking of drought, I was looking at the U.S. updated U.S. drought monitor. Poor Louisiana. Man, they're hard. Looks like almost 80% of Louisiana and some of eastern Texas and some of, what is that next to there, Mississippi. They are in a severe D4 drought. Pretty bad. There's a little bit of D4 drought going on in New Mexico, Oklahoma and Texas and Kansas, Nebraska. You got some drought areas going on. It's not bad. Right there in the southwest corner of Oklahoma, basically I would say Harmon and Greer County and parts of Jackson County, you got a D3 going on. And then a lot of D2 going over towards Lawton and back over towards I-35. Texas Panhandle looks pretty good. But man, I popped that map open a while ago, and that deal down there in Louisiana and Mississippi, it gets your attention. So take a look at it when you get a chance. Well, let's go ahead and take a Wheeler General Store break. When we come back, we'll finish up the show, and I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger, not Long Ranger, agriculture update for you for southwestern Oklahoma. Be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
What's it like having unlimited internet from Sparklight? It's like bellying up to an all-you-can-see digital buffet and indulging in endless cat videos without getting a single data cramp. And now, Sparklight's ultra-fast, reliable internet includes unlimited data at no extra charge. Get 300 meg internet for just $39.95 a month for 18 months. No contracts, free installation. Call 888-998-8630. Sparklight, a new breed in high speed. Limited time offer. Regular rate of $70 a month applies after promotional period. Subject to change. Restrictions apply.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, November 17th. 2,145 head were sold. 10 head of steers at 454 brought 290. 8 at 485 brought 284. 11 at 490 brought 270. 3 at 595 brought 247. 4 at 640 brought 214. 5 at 699 brought 216. 5 at 774 brought 227. 9 head of heifers at 321 brought 285. 4 at 390 brought 250. 5 at 494 brought 240. 9 at 633 brought 214.50. 4 at 634 brought 215. 7 at 862 brought 193.50. Butcher cows were 39 to 122. Butcher bulls brought 69 to 127.50. Bred cows were 1,000 to 2,100. Pairs brought 900 to 2,450. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sell every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
We feel like we want to be good stewards of our depositors' money. It's what keeps Community Bank going for as long as it has. This bank's seen it all. Starting 1901, you've seen a few droughts. You've seen some market crashes. Oil and gas come and go a few different times, you know, from the 50s to the 80s to the 20-teens. And we're here. We never sit there and go, oh, man, I hope our doors are going to be open tomorrow. We're going to be there. There's no doubt in my mind. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Herring Transitions invites you to join them for an estate sale Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, September 15th through 17th on the golf course on Fairway Drive in Elk City. Come shop in 3,300 square feet of complete luxury. The furniture at this sale looks as if it could be placed right back on the showroom floor. Make sure you stop in for all the high-end quality items offered in this relocation. For more information, contact Tia Dunlap at Caring Transitions, 580-821-2572. That's 821-2572.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Okay, I had a listener help me with my pronunciation of Tioga. That's how you said it. I was trying to say it a while ago. I just couldn't spit it out. When you're completely deaf in one ear, and I am, you don't realize how hard it is to pronounce stuff. So anyway, thank you very much. You had to be from Texas. Surely you have. Either that or you came from there. Okay, let's go with Mangum, Oklahoma today with your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag weather update. Currently 46 degrees, feels like 44. Dew points at 35. The humidity's at 64. The winds are out of the north at 4 miles an hour. 24-hour rainfall, 0.07. 10-day rain, 0.44. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 48 degrees. No report on the fractional water. 527 is your sunset, so that means if you're hunting tonight, 557 is your deadline. How about that? 53 degrees today, 31 and clear tonight. So if we can see the northern lights down there, Mangum, and there's a possibility, depends on how things are, you should be able to see it tonight because it's going to be clear. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 63 degrees. South to west wind, 6 to 16 miles an hour. Now, there is your updated on there. So, anyway, let's see here. One guy texted in when I was talking about, asking about the, what do you think happening to the futures market? Where is it the Packers? Is it the, because all cattlemen blame the Packers. The processor, you know, there's no doubt that this is all their fault anyway. Or is it the boys playing with numbers up there in Chicago, or what is it? So or maybe it's just time it met its heights and it's going to come back down. But according to some other stuff, according to the heifer and cow report, retention report, it can't, it's got to either stay where it's at or keep going up. There's a shortage. It's America. That's the way it happened. Anyway, he said, cattle futures are not supposed to tank the week I decide to sell my calves. Anyway, it looks like the cash market is staying pretty strong, so no big deal there. It's been a while since I talked about our local processors, you know, where they coming on for anything coming on. The USDA, did a really good job helping getting more local processors into our area, and I don't think it has affected any of the other businesses, the other processors in the local areas. Are really not that I've seen or anybody said. How's that? In an industry in which four companies, Tyson Foods, JBS, Smithfield, and Marfrig, control most of the meat market, small slaughterhouses are struggling to compete with them, not with each other. Over the past two decades, Greg Gunthrop carved out a niche operating a small meat processing plant in northern Indiana. He sold several kinds of meat to Chicago, Indianapolis restaurants, and even to the Chicago O'Hare International Airport. He also sold direct to consumers. But selling in grocery stores was not an option, as the largest meat packers often have these those contracts. In his circumstances, he found it difficult to compete in the chicken industry and the recently stopped raising and slaughtering the bird. That's what he did. It's an extremely concentrated marketplace. It's difficult for a small processor, especially a plant that slaughters, to find a sweet spot somewhere to fit long term. In an industry in which four companies, Tyson, JBS, Smithfield, control most of the meat market, small slaughterhouses, they're struggling to compete. The Biden administration has tried to address the concentration, including offering grants to help small processors expand it. If you guys remember, back in the late days of President Trump, he got some money allotted through the USDA to help build some plants or expand some, and I think he did pretty good, and then Biden has carried it on by trying to do this. But it's not enough for many small processors that face higher operating expenses than the industrial giants, according to interview with small processors and experts. I think we're going to see a lot of these plants go out of business or sell, said Rebecca, the director of the Niche Market Meat Processor Assistant Network, which helps support small processors apply for federal grants with marketing. When asked about the problems small processors identified, the USDA responded that the $1 billion in grants and investing in expanding small processors is an historic investment that will directly combat consolidation in the meat processing sector and help build resiliency in the fact of market disruptions. Smaller plants that process fewer than 1,000 animals a year can serve a region, but the largest meat packing plants that one process millions of animals a year are owned by the big boys, the big four, we call them. Just 12 federally inspected plants produce slightly less than half the country's beef supply in 2022, according to Investigate Midwest analysts of the U.S. Department of Agriculture data. The same year, 14 plants produced 60% of the nation's pork. Hundreds of small processors were responsible for less than 1% of the nation's beef and pork supply. Because of their size, the larger meat packing companies can keep their expenses low, leading to more profits. The same economic rules don't apply to the small guys. In pork and the poultry industries, large meat packing plants often already own the pigs and chickens that they slaughter, so there's no need to buy animals on an open marketplace. In the beef industry, cattle ranchers still often sell their product to slaughterhouses, but the sparse number of meat packing plants in given areas lower what plants are willing to pay. Large meat packers also have contracts with retailers, ensuring their product ends up at that grocery store, as opposed to the farmers markets or the meat counters said Bill Bullard, the CEO of RCAF USA, which advocates for independent cattle producers. They exceed any efficiencies associated with the economics of the scale and economics of the scales are now engaged in controlling the marketplace, he said. The North American Meat Institute, a lobbying organization for the meatpacking industry, disagreed with the premise that meatpacking giants make it harder for the small ones to compete. Large processors have experienced their own problems, drops in earnings, and recent plant closures such as the ones in Missouri and Indiana, and have little sway over the meat marketplaces, according to that organization. If large packers could control price, the organization, Sarah Little, the organization's spokesperson, said in an email, they're doing a bad job of it. The retail price of chicken hit a record high in October, which should benefit Tyson Foods and other major poultry processors, according to Rutgers. Meat packers have also been dogged by accusations of price fixing. I told you guys, it's always the packers and the processors' fault. Not really, but that's what the majority of ranchers and farmers or cattlemen accuse. It's always their fault. Last year, the country's largest food distributor accused the largest packers of suppressing supply in case still pending. Around the same time, Smithfield Foods, a major pork processor, paid $42 million to settle price-fixing being accused of it. How about that? There you go. See, what else is it going on in there? That's pretty much it. So, anyway, the USDA grants, though, have had a tangible impact on White Earth Reservation in northern Minnesota, home to nearly 10,000 people. Much of the reservation, the largest in the state, is considered a food desert. Residents often travel more than 40 miles to shop for groceries. The grant helped Paul Benson start construction on a meat processing plant on the reservation. Once up and running, it will be able to slaughter and pack about 30 beef cattle a week. It should be able to feed roughly 14,000 people a year. That's pretty good. The plant, expected to open this coming year, which is only a month away, will feature a storefront and sell at the local farmers market. The project received nearly $1 million from the USD Meat and Poultry Expansion Grant. Benson said he was thankful for the support from the USDA and will help revitalize food options for his neighbors. That's good. In West Texas, though, a small processor had the opposite experience. After opening in the summer of 2021, Marfa Meats closed its door in January, said owner Christy Miller. In this area of the state, one-third of the rural population travel at least 10 miles to the nearest grocery store, according to the USDA. It was a major hit on this community when we went away. Miller applied for a USDA grant but was denied. In her proposal, she shared them with Investigate Midwest. She requested about $48,000 to help expand her production. She needed a large freezer space, compost equipment, and packaging materials. The grant funding must be spent on projects or new equipment, but Miller said they would have been most helpful if she had been able to spend the money on general operating expenses, which isn't allowed. I'm bringing in $1 million a year and I'm still not able to close the gap. If you want me to stay in the business, throw me a bone here. Several challenges contribute to that. The plant's location, she's only 60 miles away from the border there in Mexico. Upfront costs, she routinely paid for more cattle because it was more expensive for ranchers. Labor, had a hard time finding labor and needing to charge premium prices, but she sold to a higher price than many local consumers were used to paying for in grocery stores. She said Miller estimated her prices were a couple of dollars more per pound than chain grocery stores for items like ground beef. You're competing against the cost of these huge operations. Your packers are always going to be high. So there you have it. Some good, some bad, and the ugly. But I think it's done wonderful around here. I might be wrong. I haven't heard otherwise, but there are Keys, one at Thomas, one out here at Sayre. Just the ones, I think there's one in Wheeler now, or Canadian up in there. Anyway, I think they've done wonderful. Get more meat processed, more people buy local meat around here. All right, well, we're about out of time. You guys ready to who you rooting for tomorrow? OSU or the guys in the burn orange? Anyway, hope OSU does good tomorrow. Hope they win the Big 12. I think we figured up this morning that'll be their second one if they do win it. So anyway, good luck to them, and hope they catch the guy or the people that laid a killer Texas Longhorn and put it in somebody's yard here in Stillwater. Pretty bad deal. You guys have a great weekend. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sarah. See you Monday.